Welcome to Storytelling.
This week's guest is a true visionary and a creative force to be reckoned with. He has an exceptional talent and has conquered the worlds of filmmaking, photography, spoken word, acting, and the dynamic realm of the media. His creative prowess knows no bounds, and he constantly seeks to shatter barriers and unlock our untapped potential for self-expression. In this episode, he shares his story on the transformative power of stepping outside our comfort zones. Through his contagious passion, he empowers us all to embrace our unique voices and fearlessly share our stories with the world. Please welcome Des Mighty.
I've always wanted to be happy, living in a constant state of bliss, but somehow this thing called happiness has proved quite elusive. And yet I want happiness to be an exclusive friend of mine. My emotions travel too far away. At times I find myself visiting places I should not. I mean, for instance, today I visited crying. Yesterday I had a long meeting with despair. Days before that, I had a heated conversation with fear, who made it abundantly clear I really shouldn't be here. I decided quickly it wasn't wise to enter places that shouted negatively at my spirit. My essence really wanted to find happiness. That decision I held dear, close to my heart. I simply had to make a start. Unfortunately, the directions to happiness were not very clear. Luckily, I stumbled across a map, realized happiness was a good distance away, and although I needed a ride to get there, feeling inspired, I started to run. Jumped over misfortune, hid from loneliness, tried to stab hatred in the back. Love somehow blocked the knife and asked, "Why are you giving hatred back?" Sprinted away from disease, avoided pain, sidestepped misery, prepared an all-out assault on shame. Found fear blocking the lane I found myself in. Found a car, pressed the pedal, shifted heavily into gear. Drove at speed, reading all the signs. Somehow I knew I really had to get there. Happiness on my mind. Happiness is where I want to be. A state of blessedness that constantly eludes so many. Realizing that without it, I do not have any thing, all this material, simply immaterial. My journey helped me to realize I can go there anytime, stay, play, laugh and shine, have fun instead of choosing desperation, depression and dejection, always fearing rejection, in a constant state of anxiety, expressed by a type of bemused perplexity. Encouraged, I took a deep breath. Past discouragement on the left. Poverty on my right. Broken spirits, terrible fights. People living their lives in tents. The light was fading. I couldn't be sure where reality was heading. Still, this situation vexed me. All these places we pass through on this journey of life. Some we spend too much time in and pay such a terrible price. Mental challenges, juggling too many balls. Worried concern, trying to scale our mind's prison walls. It wasn't long before I got there and fell gratefully to my knees and cried. I had never felt more alive. It would take more than a day or so, I was told, to adjust to these new feelings that kept me reeling. I had to be bold, realize this place had touched my soul and made me whole again. I decided quickly that from this day I would sidestep negativity, give a wide berth to apathy, jump ship from toxic relationships, visit caring, giving and loving often, enter prayer daily, visit grateful and embrace her every morning, guard my thoughts carefully lest they attack without warning. When I fall, get up immediately, stay in a state of grace, keep a huge smile on my face, remain joyful, cheerful and enchanted. All of life's meaningless challenges going or gone, knowing this place called happiness is where I really, truly belong.
Hello, Des, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, how you doing?
Des, what a wonderful poem to start with. Can you tell me more about your creative words?
Okay, my creative words seem to come from nowhere. I'll sit down with my iPad and just write something and read it back and be totally shocked at what I've just written. I've always written for most of my life, but when I was young, I showed my work to a professor who said it was rubbish, and then I was terrified of writing anything and showing anyone what I'd written after that. So I became what you call a secret writer. And it culminated in, I went to university at Goldsmith College, and they asked me to read something out on a writing course that I'd started. All I remembered was this professor's words, and so I left the course. I couldn't face the fact of anyone criticizing my work. So for years, I wrote books. I've got books that I've written that I've made one copy of. It was one of those situations where something that someone's done in your life affects you in such a negative way that even though you might know that the work that you're producing is pretty good, you're just embarrassed to read out and to talk about it or to show it or expose yourself to what you consider at the time to be more pain.
What inspires you? Because the happiness word that we heard just now, absolutely amazing. So what inspired you to write that?
If I'm really honest, I don't know. I've written so many pieces, and every now and again I go back over some of the pieces. I don't know if you can imagine, like, you might be an artist and you paint something, you don't really look at what you've painted, and then a few months or years later you go and have a look at it and go, oh my god, did I just paint that? That's literally what happens when I write it, I put it away, then I come back to it a few months or weeks or sometimes years later, and then I'm completely blown away and I think, did I actually write that? You know, how did I put those words together? It comes from me picking up everything that's going on around me. So you soak up all of the challenges that we're all going through in life, and probably what I do is I store it in the back of my head. And then at some point, when I'm sitting down, I'm in a quiet place, I just write. And then something insane comes out and I'll read it over and over again and be like, oh my God, did I just write that? And that's literally, if I'm really, really honest, I mean, there isn't a rhyme and reason why this stuff comes out the way that it does. It just comes out the way that it does.
So tell us a bit of your background, because you come from a media background. And you're working on a number of different exciting projects.
Absolutely. So 2020, we started making a film during lockdown called ICU, which was the experience that Black people were going through during COVID, during Black Lives Matter, and during the death of George Floyd. And so what we were trying to look at was the challenges that Black people were facing, the stresses that they were going through, because COVID affected everybody. But when you listen to the media in the UK, it seemed to affect Black people far worse than anybody else. And we went into all the statistics and tried to figure out what was going on. And obviously we had this view that the media was very biased in terms of its reporting. So we decided to make a film out of anger. And we made this film and it won 4 awards. We had a premiere last year in Leicester Square at Prince Charles Theatre, which was a sold-out red carpet event, which was absolutely amazing and fantastic. I made a short film because there's lots of people that are falling into debt because of the crisis that we're in at this moment in time. So we made a 3-minute short film called Debt, which is, there's no words, it's just music, and this following this person around as they go through their debt journey. And that won 3 awards. We're due to put that out on a streaming platform soon, and also put ICU out on a streaming platform. In terms of spoken word and creative writing and video montages, which we kind of messed around with the name of Visual Words, I should be having an event in September. We're just creating that event as we speak. I used to be a photographer years ago for OK, for Hello, for Harper's and Queen, for BBC, for everybody. Then I made films. I shot for Barbados Tourist Board. I used to do luxury properties in the Caribbean, which is a dream job. I still wish I was doing that, actually. You know, if you imagine you're working on a beach, you've got a pair of shorts on and a camera, and you're telling people what to do while you're filming them, and then sitting on the beach and recording and editing whatever it is you've just put together. Absolutely amazing, and getting paid for that. I also got paid to do parties. So I used to do, there used to be an architectural party in Hyde Park. They'd have all the main celebrities there, and I met Iman and David Bowie. And I pinched myself every time I did it, because it was like, you're drinking champagne, you're taking pictures, and you're getting paid. What kind of life is that? Those are the types of things, projects I'm working on now, like I said, is Visual Words, this event, which I think is going to be quite a deep event. What I've done is put together a collection of short films around some really beautiful spoken word pieces, and they're there to inspire and motivate and lift people up, because I think the last 3 years have thrown people into a really dark place, and what I'm trying to do with this event is try to make people look at possibilities that their future is not as dark as it seems at this moment in time.
So Des, what advice would you give to someone who, they're a bit shy when it comes to exposing their writing, exposing their creativity to the world?
In order for me to expose my creativity, I think I was on a shoot at one point, and there was a guy there who actually saw one of my books, or the book that I'd created. And he looked at the book, he, you know, read through it, thought, oh my God, this book is amazing. He said, how many copies? And I said, 1. And he went, no, this needs to be out. But I didn't have the confidence at the time to put the book out because of the experience that I had, which made me feel like I wasn't any good at writing. I wasn't good at any good at self-expression in the way that I felt I needed to be. The only way that that actually became a reality was a friend of mine who was extremely articulate, had an amazing way with words, was a singer, an artist. She did all sorts of different things. And I said to her, look, I want to come round and I just want to read some of my pieces to you. And I just want you to be honest and tell me what you really think. She came round and I pulled out my pieces of paper and I started to read. And then I read 3 pieces. Then I said, what did you think? And she went, did you write those? And I said, yeah. And she said, they're absolutely amazing. And I didn't believe her. So I'm like, really? You really think so? You know, that type of self-doubt that enters into your conversation because you don't really believe that what the people are telling you or that person is telling you is the truth. And she said, yeah. After that, I just decided, okay, when I go out, if I have the opportunity to read some of my stuff, I'll read it. So the first expression was at a dinner party, and there were probably 30 people there, and I read a piece and everyone loved it. And obviously that gives you more and more confidence. The next phase for me is to go on the internet and put stuff out as a podcast and just put stuff online so people can see the type of work that I do. So my advice to someone who is creating work and wants to make an impact with what they do is just put it out there. Have the courage to do it. There will be people who will not like your work, and there'll be lots of people who do. But what you've got to do is you just got to have a thick skin and say, you know what, this is something I love. I think it's going to be worthwhile me sharing it with the rest of the world. So let me share it. And then whatever comes from that comes from it.
I think that's wonderful advice. Des, can I invite you to read your next piece?
Okay, so this piece, a friend of mine went to a wedding and she was part of the women who were trying to catch the bouquet and she didn't catch it. And she, for some reason, she was quite upset. So I wrote this for her. They all stood ready as she turned her back. The hustle was on. Scraping, shuffling stiletto shoes shining the floor. Desperate faces, half smiles, open mouths. All thoughts of looking good gone. Low murmurs, a cacophony of noisy hens reaching a crescendo, clucking violently while planting their feet. Men looking on, feigning amusement, silently praying that their boo would not be the one holding the prize and seek to look at them with over-ambitious eyes. The bride raised her arms above her head, looked back giggling at the hot mess behind her as she pretended to throw, didn't, then doubled over laughing, raised up again, hands and flowers over her head, one, pulling, pushing skirts and dresses raised so they won't get in the way, two, who was most prepared, three, who next to be wed. In slow motion, the bouquet left her hands, soaring silently through the air, a mad scramble, fearful fingers, seeking to find ways to win this fight and grip the flowers tight as it landed. A huge roar, a blur of motion, someone's wig hit the floor, a startled woman holding her bald head screaming, hands reaching, she didn't catch it. Sadness. A voice whispered to her from inside, why so sad, was it really that bad? Remember this, you are the bouquet, an unashamed beautiful woman, basking in the glow of life, the mad race is on for you. But you have to believe in yourself first. She walked slowly over to the bar, smiling secretly to herself at the craziness that had just befallen, a wall of eyes following, watching her in awe. Jealous women gripping their men tight, shifting uncomfortably, daggers leave their eyes designed to pierce her flesh and mess up those curves, damage that dress. How come you look so good? Giving bad looks as they wonder why they look so bad. Standing in front of their man trying to restrict his vision, dark looks and skin teeth, wishing they had listened to the mirror as it whispered you need to be thinner to wear that fitted dress they bought 20 years ago. Looking hard and intently at their boo, trying to avert his eyes, fearing he might get lost in the truth that is you, fearing their man might rebel as he rebels in your beauty becoming consumed by you, lost to them forever. Lustful men stand erect, eager to please, praying for you to bless them with your gaze, trying hard not to trip over their tongues as they attempt to engage in conversation, sucking in their bellies, wishing they had not grazed so heavily on that last chicken giblet and spent more time in the gym, while praying there are no remnants of that meal stuck stubbornly between their teeth as they grin, like worried hyenas imagining you with them. You are a rare bouquet with stems like a tenor's. One stem sniffs out the pretenders, another the non-doers and those who would heap false words simply to turn your head, or those handsome ones seeking to find ways to woo you to bed, or others still simply fighting for your attention with nothing to give, all captivated by your smile, mesmerized by your walk and effortlessness, entranced by your looks and graciousness. The women want to be like you, the men want to be with you. No need for you to be thrown, no need for you to catch. You are the bouquet.
Thank you so much for sharing your story and thank you for being a guest on this podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
If you would like further details about Des, then please follow the link in the show notes.